I don't believe it's necessary for me to indicate your texture. And that there are some who are not good at that. Okay? But for their benefit, I'll say your texture. Third Epistle of John and verse 2. Third Epistle of John and verse 2. Beloved, by this, that in all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers.
The Apostle's prayer and desire is that our spiritual health should be at least as good as our physical health. Now, our physical health this evening is such that we can be here. On the prayer list, there are those who cannot be here. And so the idea is that our spiritual health should be as good as our physical health. We've gone through many considerations in this matter of health, the last one being the need for exercise. As I indicated last Sunday, you turn on your radio and your TV, and they're all telling you what to buy to get strong, develop the muscles, and develop other parts of the body. One verse we might read together, which I didn't read on Sunday, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Because the Lord would have us to exercise. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Exercise is not only important physically, it's important spiritually. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Refuse profane and old wise fables. Exercise thyself. Here's exercise. Rather unto godliness. Bodily exercise profits. Now, the translators differ here. Some say bodily exercise profiteth little, some say profiteth a little, some say profiteth to some extent. Whatever the correct translation, the next clause is important for us. Godliness as an exercise is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So that when it comes to exercise, spiritual exercise, godliness, is profitable far much more so than physical exercise. And sometimes I look at some of these folks, used to be mainly men, now they have women. All these muscles so well developed that I'm looking, I wonder what's the point. Now, it's good in an anatomy class to have all those muscles so beautifully delineated you can't miss them. Actually, what's the point of having these muscles so well developed? They get sick and they die like everybody else. But we are not interested so much in the physical musculature and development and the spiritual development. Now we have seen that one of the best exercises that anybody can take, well, there are two good ones, swimming and walking. And of the two, walking is the better. Walking is still the best exercise. And you will find that even the old people, the feeble people, they want you to exercise. Use what you have. And we have seen that in our walking in the scripture, there is a walking before the Lord. Abraham walked before the Lord. We should walk before the Lord, always remembering that He is looking at us. He is seeing what we do. And you remember the little story that I told you of Joe the butcher, which I think is very apropos as to walking before the Lord. It was Saturday night, and Joe the butcher had one chicken left. And Mrs. Jones came in, "Joe, I want a chicken." Brought it out, put it on the scale, weighed so much, cost so much. Now that's the only one he had. "Joe, do you have another chicken, a heavier one?" Oh, yes. He took the same one in, brought it out, tipped the scale, and said yes. Then she decided, I want both. He wasn't walking before the Lord. We must walk before the Lord with integrity and with honesty. Then we are to walk with the Lord. Enoch walked with the Lord, and things were pretty bad in Enoch's day. Let's see what, we didn't look at it last time. Let's see what things were like in Enoch's day. He walked with the Lord. And we sometimes think, well, those fellows had it so easy. Some of them had it harder than we had. How hard did Enoch have it? Book of Jude, please. Verse 14. The times in which Enoch walked with the Lord. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convict all that are ungodly. Please notice this word ungodly, how often it occurs. These were the times in which Enoch lived. To convict all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch's time, they were ungodly. Just as we are in these times. If you don't believe that this nation is ungodly, and this world is ungodly, listen to the news. The things that are going on, the indecencies, the immorality, the things that they are portraying for our youngsters to see. And we wonder why the youngsters do what they do is because of what they see. Nevertheless, Enoch, in spite of these difficult times, walked with the Lord. Noah walked with the Lord, and we saw what the times were like in the book of Luke when he lived. But in spite of those times, very much like these times, he walked with the Lord. Now tonight we want to consider walking after the Lord, following the Lord. And I'm going to ask you to look at a number of scriptures with me. I don't think I'll say very much about them. We'll just read them. They'll speak for themselves. 2 Kings chapter 23. Walking after the Lord. Following the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 3. The king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord. That's what Solomon decided to do. Now we're not going to follow through on Solomon. And he didn't make it all the way. He didn't walk after the Lord completely as he should have. But we are called upon to walk after the Lord. You find the same scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Look at Numbers chapter 32 with me. You see, sometimes we read these things and we say, oh, that was then, they could do it. If whatsoever things were written, we read in Romans 15, aforetime were written for our knowledge today, for us to profit by today. And if they could walk with the Lord, then we are supposed and expected to walk with the Lord even now. Second Numbers, did I say? Yes. Chapter 32. And verse 12. Following the Lord. Let's read verse 11. Make it verse 10. And if we keep it up, you know, we'll profit by reading the whole chapter. But for the sake of time, we won't do that. Verse 10, the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. Why? Because they have not wholly followed me. Failure to follow the Lord results in lack of blessing. Verse 12. Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun. They have wholly followed the Lord. I think it's very nice. All these hundreds of people failed to follow the Lord, and these two. And do you know that in the world at large, all the progress that has been made in this world has been made by the minority of people, not by the majority. Anything that represents progress has been the contribution of the minority of people. And it's nice for us to be in the minority, because we represent that which pleases the Lord. These two men, of all those people, were the only one that entered into the land, because they wholly, completely, altogether followed the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, please. All of these verses are going to say the same thing. But it's well to note that whenever God repeats it, when he says a thing once, it's important. And when he repeats himself, I don't want to say it's more important, but there's a reason for it. Whenever he repeats himself. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 17. Speaking concerning Solomon, as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom. When we follow the Lord, we can expect blessing. But as I indicated in the case of Solomon, he did not wholly follow the Lord. And in spite of his intelligence, the most brilliant man of his day, he failed. And we have a lot of men in the world today, they think they're brilliant. Some of them are pretty smart. Anytime you take a man, he can't see an atom. Nobody's ever seen one. And he takes another atom that he can't see and aims it at the first atom and hits it. He's smart. He's really smart. But not wise where God is concerned. John chapter 8. Following the Lord. And I have often said it, and I'm going to ask you to listen for it. One of the beautiful things of a class like this, and I consider this a Bible class, I'm not preaching, I'm not lecturing, I'm not giving a sermon. We are here exchanging thoughts. You know how you do in school? You just sit in the class and talk one for a minute. And one of the beautiful things about a meeting like this is the turning of these pages. If you listen carefully as you turn these pages, there is a musical sound. Pardon me, there are musical sounds. And if you listen for them, they'll make you feel real good. John's Gospel. Chapter 8. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Isn't that nice? He is the light of the world, and if we follow him, we'll always know where we're going. That reminds me of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice, please, where the believer walks. The believer does not walk in the valley of death. He walks in the valley of the shadow of death. And you cannot have a shadow unless you have light. And as we go through that valley, there is light. And where does the light come from? The Lord says, he is with us. If we follow him, we will always have light on the subject. And that can be some very difficult subjects. I won't tell you just what, but this week my granddaughter called me a difficult problem. But so you follow the Lord, he'll shed light on the problem. And very often we lose our way because we don't follow the light. And we walk, therefore, in darkness. Now, it's very important. Oh, chapter 10, please, while you're here. Verse 27. Well, I like this verse. As a matter of fact, I like them all. I can't think of one verse in the Bible that I don't like. But some have a stronger appeal than others. This has a very strong appeal. The Lord says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I might have told you this years ago in a Sunday school class. I had a lovely Sunday school class in New York, consisting of high school graduates and college students. They composed the class. And we came to this subject, following the Lord and hearing his voice. My sheep hear my voice. And I noticed a couple of the young ladies nudging each other. I figured they're up to something. Yes, they were. Hand went up. What does the voice of the Lord sound like? That was supposed to get me. God was good. I said to the young lady, do you know and can you recognize your mother's voice wherever you hear it? She said, yes. I said, well, stand up and tell us what her voice sounds like so that when we hear it, we'll know it. She said, I can't do it. I says, I cannot tell you what his voice sounds like, but I know it. Isn't that good? With your mother, your father, your friends, they call on the phone. They don't even have to say who they are. Yes, so-and-so. We recognize their voices. And if we are the Lord, we recognize his voice. We know his voice. Now, there's one danger that I want to point out. Come back, please, to Exodus chapter 17. And some of you will say, we're all over the Bible today. That's right. And don't forget the music of the pages. Exodus chapter 17. Verse 8. We know this chapter well. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Why do you think Amalek fought with Israel in Rephidim? What was the occasion of this battle? And you know, all of the answers for Scripture are in Scripture. And to know the answer to this question, we have to turn now to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25. And you'll find out what happened. Deuteronomy chapter 25, remembering what we just read, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. What was the occasion? Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 and 18. Remember what Amalek did unto you by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt. He met thee by the way and smote the hindmost, those that were rarest, those that were farthest back, the laggards, and all that were behind and the feeble. And if we don't keep up with the Lord as he walks and as he would have us following, we're going to get in trouble. We've got to maintain pace with him. He decides what the rate is. He knows what we can take and he knows how fast we can go. And if we fail to keep pace with the Lord as we seek to follow him, we're going to be in trouble. Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew chapter 26. We must keep pace with the Lord. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 58. And when you go home, read the whole chapter. With emphasis on verse 58. But Peter followed him afar off. And when we follow afar off, we are headed for trouble. Peter followed afar off. Let's see what happened. He followed afar off in verse 69. We find him sitting now. Stop following and he's sitting. And the damsel came unto him saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all. Why? He's way back. Not near the Lord. And when we fail to be near the Lord, we're going to find ourselves denying him. We're going to find ourselves saying things that we know are not true. We're going to find ourselves denying him. I almost got caught in that. Years ago, I spent this day in Jersey, and all these folks were talking about the churches that they went to, all these big buildings. And what church do you go to? Oh my. What am I going to say? I go among a group called Brethren. Never heard of them. It's a good thing I didn't deny the Lord. I almost felt like saying I belong to some other group. You know, sound big like that. But God gave me the courage to say I belong to the Brethren. Who are they? And God gave me the occasion to tell me who they were. What we believe, what we stand for, what this word teaches. Don't follow afar off. You'll be in trouble. You'll regret following afar off. First Chronicles chapter 12, please. Now as we go through these scriptures, it'll give you some idea as to how I study. As my daughters tell me, I'm all over the book. That's a good way. That's why you have the book. Be all over the book. Turn to all the pages. Check out all of them. First Chronicles chapter 12. Verse 33. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, now please note, 50,000 which could keep rank. That's important, beloved. If we're going to follow the Lord, we must keep rank. Verse 38, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to heaven. And as we follow the Lord, we must keep rank. The story is told of a mother. This was in Paris, on the Champs-Élysées. World War II. And the army was marching along the Champs-Élysées. All these soldiers marching. And this mother looked out and said, my son is the only one that's in step. And he's the one that was out of rank. We have to learn to march in rank. Work together. I was telling Brother George about a phone call that I had from New York recently. We have to be very careful of the enemy. He will find reasons to cause us to break rank. And instead of following the Lord, some will be following their own ideas. We must keep rank. Don't break rank. Almost 8 o'clock. There's just one other thing that I'd like to call attention to. It comes under the heading of the walk of the believer as found in Ephesians. There are a lot of things in Ephesians about the walk of the believer, but I only want to look at one tonight in closing. Chapter 4. Verse 1. And with this we'll close. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, of the calling wherewith you are called. Let us walk worthy of our calling. Years ago. Almost everything I tell you happened years ago. That's because I'm old. Years ago, I was going to the office, about to enter, and a young lady came and grasped my arm. My mother's sick, come and see her. I said, well, I don't have anything to work with. Let me go in the office and get my bag and some instruments. She came with me. She wouldn't let my arm go. I went into the office. I got what I wanted. I came up. She kept holding me, took me up to her mother's place. Well, thank the Lord, it was not a difficult problem. We always thank the Lord for that. As a matter of fact, we had one doctor who always used to say, I hope that I will never be a special case. Well, those are difficult ones, those special ones. And so I took care of my mother. This was the bedroom. And in exiting, I had to go through the living room. They had the TV on. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And there was a lady on the TV. I don't know who she was. She was speaking. And her bearing, her carriage, her speech. I said to myself, that lady is somebody. I don't know who she is, but she's somebody. That evening, I came home and turned on the radio to get news, as I still do. And what do you think I learned? That afternoon at 4 o'clock, the Queen of England was addressing the Congress of the United States. I didn't know who she was, but I knew she was somebody. She walked worthy of her call. And we as believers are to walk worthy of our calling. I'm going to put it this way. You may not agree with me. They should be able to tell by the way we behave, by the way we speak, and the way we conduct ourselves that we are believers. Now you may not agree with it. Think about it. Walk worthy. of our calling. I didn't know she was the Queen of England, but I knew she was somebody. And they should be able to tell that we are someone. As we walk before the Lord, as we walk with the Lord, and as we follow the Lord. Two verses, please, of number 475. Remember, beloved, walking is a good exercise. And as we walk with the Lord and before the Lord and after the Lord, we don't have a better spiritual exercise. Verses 1 and 4, please. I have a shepherd following Jesus.